Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Y'all getting anything out of this authority series? Boy, I am. I'm really liking this. It's helping me understand the things that have kind of understood, you know. But I'm an engineering type, you know. It's got to get down. E equals MC squared is nice, but how does that help me make a toaster? It's got to get down. How do we get them out of the wheelchair? You know, that's what really matters. And so I want to continue with this morning's thoughts a little bit. I'm not sure what we're going to call tonight's, but I want to focus again on the no-name anointing. The no-name anointing. It's time for the body of Christ to get over themselves and understand that you have been sent by the King to crush hell everywhere you go. Okay? And we're not ever going to do that if we don't believe what Jesus told us. And so when He gives us this authority, when He delegates it to us, it is not just for the apostle, it's not just for the prophet, it's not just for the fivefold ministry. Because in Mark 16, we may look at it again here in a little bit, these signs shall follow them that believe. Them that believe. It doesn't say the fivefold. It says those that believe. And two of those signs, they'll cast out devils, and they'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I'm going to remind you again this morning. This story really impacted me. This evangelist, I don't really know him personally, but I listen to him occasionally. He's got a four-year-old daughter that's been following him around and just loves to pray for people. And she's got a pretty good anointing on her, you know. And they were in this long line to ride some kind of amusement at an amusement park. I mean, have y'all ever been to Orlando? You know, Disney World, when school is out in the summer? I don't recommend that. Because you can get in one of those lines. If you didn't buy the pass thing, you can stand in one of those lines for 2 hours. So I am not exaggerating. 2 hours in the hot Florida sun. And, it just inches along, you know. But anyway, his little four-year-old daughter, who's baptized in the Holy Ghost, prays in other tongues. He says about her, she said, "My daughter is a praying machine. You can't keep her from it. She's ready to go." And has results. And it dawned on him, he was watching his little daughter make her way up through that line to a wheelchair lady quite a ways up. He couldn't get there being an adult because they got you crowded in with the rails on both sides. But little four-year-old girl, she could zigzag through the people. And he's watching her make her way up there and he's thinking, now, the Holy Ghost she has is not a four-year-old Holy Ghost. That girl has been anointed with the same Holy Ghost that anointed Jesus of Nazareth the day that he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. And it's the same Holy Ghost. Now, this is what we got to get. See, that impacted me with this no-name believer's anointing. Because if you're a believer, you didn't get a second-rate Holy Ghost. You didn't get some kind of watered-down, some kind of lesser Holy Ghost than Paul got. Or Jesus God. You shall receive power, dunamis, dynamite, explosive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it's the same Holy Ghost that come upon him. That story impacted me. I thought, man, now we're all in various stages of growth. You know, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We're all in various stages of growth. But something dawned on my spirit when I heard that. I went, Holy Ghost isn't growing. He's full there. He's all God, all power, ready, willing, able, just looking for somebody to co-labor with, even if that is a four-year-old girl or Mary Wallpaper Joe Public believer that finally believes what Jesus said. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm preaching myself into this, getting myself into this now. Okay. So Matthew 8 again, the centurion who didn't even have a covenant with God. And we'll pick it up. For time's sake, we'll pick it up in verse 8. Matthew 8:8. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof." Here he declares his faith. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He tells us why he knows that. He says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. So he's under authority from Rome. He has yielded and submitted his life to Rome. He goes where Rome says. He does what Rome says do. His life is not his own. His life belongs to Rome. He has sold out to Rome. He is a man under authority. And I see why Jesus, why in this teaching season, really for this last year, has been so much focus on the flesh and mortifying the flesh, because Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Well, Rome could say the same thing. If this centurion was not obeying, Rome could say, how can you call yourself a centurion and not do what Rome is saying? So see, it's a two-edged thing that I see here. On the one hand, it's not by our holiness. It's not by our power or our holiness. It is, and we're going to talk about that. It is that name, through faith in that name. But there is an element of submission. This man, he only understood authority because he was a man under authority. And the same way, he doesn't question Rome. When Rome gives an order, he does it. And he says, because of that, when Rome gives me authority, and then I speak, the men under me, there's no negotiation, there's no debate, there's no if so, maybe so. They do it, or they're going to face the full power of the Roman Empire. And the way I heard one preacher say it one time, that means if need be to get that person to obey. If Rome had to call in every soldier from every settlement, every city, every conquered region, far as the empire went, if they had to bring every soldier from every field, bless God, the words of that man are going to be obeyed. Whew. Now, he understood that, and he understood it with Jesus. He said, the same way I have authority over these men, I know you have authority over sickness and disease. And if you speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. That's a good message, isn't it? Now, see, we've got to get to the place where Jesus taught this really over in Mark 11 when he started talking about, you know, the authority of our words. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But see, now we're understanding, we couple this together. Well, if you're under his authority. See, people have gone out silly things, you know, and started commanding Cadillac cars a different color for every day of the week, you know. That's hardly building his kingdom. And I mean, if you need a Cadillac car, somebody asked one time, said, would God give a preacher a freight train? Well, if he needed it for his calling, yeah. He gave Lester Summerall a ship, didn't he? Yeah. He'd give him 10 of them if he needed them. But see, the whole difference is, are you submitted to him, or are you trying to get him to submit to you? It's all the difference in the world, see. Well, it's not by our power, it's not by our holiness, but there is an element of submission to the King. And that's why he said, I'm trying to get to my notes, I may never get there. That's why he said in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think Rome did that for the centurion. As long as he was seeking first the will of Rome and doing his best to live out Rome's kingdom plans, empire plans, did not Rome supply him with what he needed, a place to live and supplies and a salary and whatever he needed? It's the same thing. Same thing. God, we have it in the red letters. Your Father promises you'll have what you need. Boy, that's good stuff right there. That's good stuff. So anyway, getting back to some of our most important thoughts, authority to the centurion boiled down to this sentence. Based on the authority I have been delegated from Rome, when I speak, it is done. And he understood about Jesus with the authority he had been given by God. He says, Jesus, when you speak, it is done. Jesus said, I've not found so great faith, not in Israel. This man believes in the authority that he had, the name that is above every name, and that when Jesus speaks, that's the end. But now, this morning we looked at it in a little more detail. Are you in Matthew 8? Now, in particular, look at verse 13. Because when I really got to examining this closer, I expected to find somewhere, the centurion was expecting Jesus to say, thy servant is healed, right? Speak the word only, or maybe rebuke the palsy. I think he said it was palsy. Palsy, go. Jesus doesn't do that. He never does that. Look what he does say. Now here's the edict, the proclamation of the king. The king of the kingdom. Verse 13 he says, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. If you have so in your Bible, so be it done. Notice it's in italics. In this case, I think it helps to draw a line through that. It's kind of like the Hebrew in Genesis 1. In our King James Bible, it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. But in the Hebrew, it says, light be, and light was. This is closer to that. As thou hast believed, be it done. Be it done unto thee. As thou hast believed, be it done. Oh, my goodness. He still put the responsibility back on us. I'm telling you, for every situation in your life, and really as an intercessor for somebody else's life, the proclamation of the king is this. I mean, he is commanding heaven's resources when he says, as you have believed, be it done unto thee. That is the proclamation of the king. And he will meet you at whatever faith level, if there is such a thing, wherever you are. He will meet you like he met me. I gave the example this morning of the melanoma cancer. I knew intellectually, knowledge-wise, that it is possible to just believe it away, not go through nothing. But I also knew in all reality, at that moment in time, I was not walking there. Well, Sue asked me, well, what can you believe? Or where are you at? What faith level are you, Gary? And at that moment, I searched my heart, and those two things came forward, that the diagnosis does not have to be as severe as what he just said, and that whatever happens, they're going to get every cell of that cancer out of my body. And do you know that's exactly what happened? The diagnosis changed. They didn't say nothing about no surface spreading, nothing the first time we went. They'd given me 6 months to live. But the diagnosis changed. Well, this just might be that. And if that's the case, out of his own mouth, he says, if that's the case, we might be able to get every cell of that cancer out of your body. We looked at each other like, was he listening? Did he hear us when we talked in the car on the way home? Somebody was listening. Somebody was listening and hearing the words coming out of my mouth. And Sue said, I agree with you in Jesus' name. Where two of you agree, it is done. And as you can tell, that happened in my early 40s. You can tell I'm not in my early 40s if you can see me on my video. That's been a long 6 months. Going to be longer yet. Praise God. That phrase, I can't get away from it. That phrase. It's like this is the mandate of heaven. As you have believed. The king says. It's like the king says, I could pick anyone. I'm not going to pick anyone. Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, they come right here. And they're in front of the king. And the king is looking around at all the angels of heaven, all of the resources of heaven. We only have a few glimpses into that realm. I don't really know what all's available there. and to the Holy Spirit himself, and the King of the kingdom declares to Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper, as you have believed. Listen to me. Listen, heaven. All the resources of heaven, pay attention. As these have believed, be it done unto them. Did you get it that time? Did you get it? Was that better? Man, that's good, isn't it? I'm about to have a running fit myself. Glory to God. That is the mandate of heaven. And he'll meet you right where you are. At first, he was going to go to the man's house. He thought that's where the man was. I'll come to your house and heal him. What about the woman with the issue of blood? Where was her faith? Jesus didn't even know who it was that touched him in his humanity. He said, who is it to touch me? He wasn't kidding. Who is it to touch me? But see, that mandate, as she believed. What did she believe? What did she keep saying? What was in her heart? If I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. It's the same thing. As she believed, it was done unto her. My goodness. Now this gets down to the believer's anointing. What do you believe? What do you believe? Where are you? And wherever you are, it's okay. Because he allows growth. He meets you where you are. He meets you, if you're at the hem of the garment, he'll meet you at the hem of the garment. If it's come into my house, he'll come into your house. If it's speak the word only, he'll speak the word only. But the mandate of heaven is, as you have believed, heaven has no choice. The king has already declared, as you have believed, be it done unto you. And that's even if you're believing for somebody else. Don't forget the context. That's if you say, yeah, but they're, that person I'm believing for, you know, they're not very holy. And again, I remind you, it is conspicuously absent that we're not given the slightest information about the servant. That was all we know is a servant, and he's grievously tormented with the palsy. That's all we know. We don't know if he's a good guy, bad guy. Don't know if he cussed out his wife, kicked the cat. We don't know anything about this guy because apparently, and you know, God could have given us those details if we needed it. He gave us what we needed. You know what you need? You need to know that as you have believed, it shall be done, even if it's for another person. We're going to quit losing them. I'm telling you right now, we are going. And it's okay for Linda to slap me when I get there because we didn't get it before she left. She's not mad at me, though. Anyway, hallelujah. Man, can't believe it. I'm trying to stay here. I'm about to run off. Man. Rosie. The mandate of heaven. Angels, everybody, quiet. Hold the worship down just for a minute in heaven. Listen, I have something to say. The king has something to say. As Rosie has believed. Heaven, listen. Be it done unto her. As Doug and Lisa have believed. Be it done unto them. The king has spoken. Now remember, believing has two parts, not just one. I believe silence is a big problem. I've often wondered, why did Adam stay silent? He'd been given dominion over that garden. He had authority over everything. Yet during that whole, and he was standing right there. He was standing right there while the serpent tempted Eve. And he remained silent. Don't stay silent. Well, I believe in my heart. Faith has two parts. Believe in the heart. Say with the mouth. We went to Romans 10, 9 and 10 this morning. If you believe in the heart and say with the mouth. For with the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession is made unto sozo. unto salvation, not just being born again, unto everything you need. It's good stuff. Now again, we're going to look at let's talk about this fella. We don't have time to turn there. Jesus, they got into a dispute, the 12 did. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to be the greatest? I wonder how heated that discussion got. I mean, they're actually talking about, here's 12 guys, which one of us is going to be the greatest? I wonder what they would say. I would just like to hear some of that conversation. How do you have that conversation? Well, I think I'm going to be the greatest. No, I don't think so. I can just hear Peter going, who was it that was told, flesh and blood hath not said, but my Father. He said, yeah, but he also called you Lucifer in the next breath. He called you Satan, get behind me. I can just hear this discussion going on, And if Jesus ever rolled his eyes, that might have been a time like, oh, brother, bring me a little child. And he brings this little child over and he says, whoever's going to be the greatest among you, you have to become the least, like this little child. And when he said that, it triggered something in John's mind. John, he remembered that guy that they saw casting out devils. He said, Lord, we saw one casting out devils in your name. Now, he wasn't doing it in his own name. He wasn't like the seven sons of Sceva or anything. We saw one cast. He was literally actually casting out devils in your name. And we told him to stop it. Who do you think you are? And you can see the attitude, we're somewhat among them. Did he call you? I don't think so. It may not have been quite. Did he come to your fishing boat and call you? I don't think. Did he come to your tax collecting place? I don't think so. That's what was going on. There was some attitude going on like that. So Jesus, he brings up this little child and he says, listen, if you're going to be great in the kingdom, you've got to humble yourself, become like this little child, And John remembered that guy and he says, we saw this guy. He was casting out devils in your name, but he doesn't follow with us. So we forbade him to do it. And Jesus says, forbid him not. And I wrote down in Luke's and Mark's gospel, in Luke's account, John says, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he follows not with us. Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. In Mark's account, Mark 9, 38 through 40, John says, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. We forbade him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. Now this time, Jesus says it this way, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name. Say with me, do a miracle in his name. I intend to do a miracle in his name. I intend to do a bunch of miracles in his name. He said, there's no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. You get that? Now, let me get this over here. We don't know that fella's name. It is intentionally left out. This is the believer's anointing. If there is that one guy in the Bible that to me typifies Mark 16, those that believe in my name, they shall do this, it's this guy. We don't know his name. Far as we can tell, Jesus didn't call him into the ministry. Far as we know, he was never in the fivefold. Now think about this. He was actually casting out devils. Nobody can cast out a devil, not for real, without the co-laboring of the Holy Ghost. Jesus himself said, I cast out spirits by the finger of God. In another place, I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. So that tells me, if this guy was really casting out devils, the Holy Spirit was working with him. And we don't know the guy's name. He's not in the fivefold. This has taken away all of our excuses, because this fellow's not even born again. Hello? But what is he, a believer? He believed what Jesus would teach, that the kingdom of God has come unto you. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's available now. And in my name. So I'm contrasting that guy with the seven sons of Sceva. Because they tried it in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, which is the right name. That is the right name. But see, there was no authority. Because they were not under authority. Now, even though this guy, as far as we know, Jesus didn't call him to follow him as a disciple, he was a disciple. What I mean by that is he submitted to the teachings of Jesus. Otherwise, he would really have no authority. But he was yielded to the teachings of Jesus. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? I think this guy was the one that did what he said. And so the Holy Spirit, that author, the Holy Spirit looks, you know, the Father can look on the heart and he sees that submission to Jesus and his teachings. And that authorized the Holy Spirit to co-labor with him. And when that guy says, in the name of Jesus, come out, the Holy Spirit jerked him out. And he is just a believer. What if I said it this way? That Mr. No Name, now this didn't really happen, but it's as though Mr. No Name got an audience with the king of the kingdom. The king looked on his heart and saw that he was submitted unto him. And here we go again, the king. All right, everyone in heaven, quiet down for a minute. All you angels, all the resources of heaven, archangels, listen to what I'm saying. This No Name believer right here. As he has believed, be it done unto him. Well, that fellow believes that he can use the name of Jesus to cast out devils and do miracles. And when he did it, heaven worked with him. Ooh, is that good stuff? And he's a no-name guy on purpose. He's in there for the express purpose that we'll know that the Holy Ghost will co-labor with you. Whether you're in the fivefold, whether you're not in the fivefold. What matters? Do you believe? And the last portion tonight, now all of that was review. So I have we're starting now. No, not really. What you believe is what authorizes the Holy Spirit to add his supernatural power to manifest the word of God in your own life or for anybody that you're praying for or making intercession for. So the question comes down to this, because what Jesus really said was, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it exactly the way he said it. As you have believed, be it done. Okay? As you have believed, be it done. So you might take some notes starting at this point. I'm asking the question. Because see, we have something more than that fella had. He was functioning without being born again. He was functioning without even the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have so much more than what that no-name fella had there. You see it? Okay? Now the attitude of heart is got to be the same. You've got to be sold out to the King. Alright? But here's some things we have. What do you believe about this? What do you believe about the name of Jesus? What do you believe? Remember when Peter said, it's not by our power, it's not by our holiness that this man is made strong? What did he say? It is that name through faith in that name. See, the name is there whether you have faith in it or not. What matters is what do you believe? I gave you, here's a couple of verses. You can look them up later. Ephesians 1:21. And that's where God has exalted him above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And the other one is Philippians 2:9. Where God has given him a name that's above every name. Well, you got to know that he has given you that name. Just look at it here. Go to Matthew 28 again. Right near the... Matthew 28. Starting in verse 18. Jesus came. This is the last one, two, three verses before he ascends to the Father. And he says, in verse 18, all power. Now that's that word exousia. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Man. See, Adam had dominion over the work of his hands. Adam had dominion on earth. Adam had authority on earth. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. Whew. Now he says, it's all mine. Go ye therefore. When you find the word therefore, you've got to see what it's there for. What he's doing, this is the very place where he says that authority that I have been given. Remember Corinthians, Paul writes, we are ambassadors for Christ. Right here is where he's saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, you go. Now notice, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now notice this last part. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the earth. Go to Mark's account, Mark 16. Look at the very last part of that one. This is where he talks about the believers who will cast out devils and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover and so forth. But look at verses 19 and 20. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with, and again, that word them is in italics and you ought to strike it out. He was working with them, but only as they declared the word. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. That word following, if you look it up, it really doesn't mean like 2 weeks from now. Really, it means a company. Right now. You preach the word, you got the signs. Right now. It's okay if things show up later, that's all right. But the kind of revival we're believing for is the same kind that Jesus had when he ran his own meetings, which hopefully he's going to be running his own meetings again through us. You understand what I'm saying? Well, there it says, they wondered when they saw these things. That means the legs grew out during the meeting. That would cause a little wonderment today. Now, the difference today is we'd have ABC, NBC, CBS, and the Fox News Network. And it'd be broadcast around the world. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, or atheist. You got a little daughter at home that was in an accident and missing a leg. And you watched a leg grow out in the name of Jesus. There is nothing that would keep me from getting my daughter to that meeting. There's nothing that would keep me from doing that. There's nothing. And when I watch my daughter's leg grow out, I'd say, I need to know about this Jesus. Now see, that's what we're called to, people. That is why you push away from the table again at mealtime. That's why back to the prayer closet again. That's why with your iPod or your whatever you listen to the Bible on, listen to that chapter again. Play it again. Play it again. Read it again. Assimilate it again. That's what we're pressing toward, and it is worth giving your life for. It is worth giving your life for. I remember Dave in the early days, and he said it quite a while, but he'd say, if this is all there is, the present level of power in the church at large, not just here, if this is all there is, just kill me now. Just kill me now. He says, at least give me my shot. Don't teach me a bunch of humanistic, man-made doctrine that's different from what Jesus said. Just give me the truth and give me the Holy Ghost. Let me have my shot. Let me have my run at this. Then if I fail, fine. That's one thing. But don't keep it from me by religion. Amen? I'm glad I go to this church. Slopety floors, I don't care. Cracks in the walls, I don't care. Give me the truth. Give me the word. Give me the Holy Ghost. Give me my shot. We have something to live for. Something to live for. Praise God. Okay, so I got a few things here now. That one, is, I'm saying it again, what do you believe about the name of Jesus? Get those two verses in you. There is no name above the name of Jesus. Cancer is just a name. Birth defects, just a name. What does it matter to He that creates all things? All right, number two, what do you believe about? Now, here's some more. What do you believe about your standing as a righteous child of God? See, and that's where the devil defeats us a lot. Because he gets us looking at ourselves. Now, again, there's some truth to that. I don't believe in radical grace at all. I do believe in the grace of God. The true grace of God teaches me to deny ungodly lusts. To say no to the things of the world and the things of the flesh, see, that we might live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, that's the true grace of God. I did a message during a youth conference called The Anointed No. You have been empowered to say no to sin, to say no to the flesh, and I'm telling you to say no to the devil, to say no to cancer. To say no to all those, every work. I'm going to say it again. We are called to crush hell everywhere we go. I'm tired of the Christians trembling about what the devil's going to do. It's time for devils to tremble. Every time the Christians wake up, the devil should quake. What all damage are they going to do to the kingdom of darkness today? What if we unleash an army on this city? Always get this. Your righteousness is because of Jesus, not because of you. That does not take away from the fact that every day we are to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. That means seek to walk in the righteousness that He has given us. How do you do that? Nathan 101. God gave you a nature that's got the very law of God in it, and He gave you a conscience to help you walk by it. If you walk by that, you'll walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Item number three, what do you believe about this? You can read this in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. I'll go there myself. We don't have time, everybody, to go to all these. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, here we go, believeth on me, he that believeth, the believer's anointing, he shall do, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And what do you believe about verses 13 and 14? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. See, it's Christ in you. Remember? The anointed one in you. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And Jesus seldom repeats himself twice, or repeats himself a second time. But in the very next verse, he says it again. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I've had that in my Bible like you've had that in your Bible forever. And here lately, he's been asking me. I don't know if he's asking you. He says, Gary, are you ever going to believe that I told the truth? Are you ever going to believe me? That I meant what I said? See, what do we believe about that? All right. Another one is over. Just go over to, well, here, I'll do it. John 15, 16. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. What do we believe about that? See, if you'd have asked me in the early days, I would have swore on a stack of Bibles that I believed that verse until he put us out on that limb with no finances for all and gave it, told us to send those tapes around the world for, you know, for free and postage paid. We lived by this verse. We finally came to the place where this is how we lived. For years, didn't have any money to go buy a computer, didn't have any money to go buy tapes, didn't have money hardly for anything. We live by this. That's when my days of my ring binder really started, which I've taught on before, where this is where I'd make my petition. Father, we have need of whatever, a computer, a printer. That one day I asked for a printer. We already had one, but I never thought about when it goes in the shop. We used it so much, we had to put it in the shop, and it was, y'all remember the dot matrix printers? Remember that? makes that noise. But it would get it done, and it was color. I was so proud of it. Until it went in the shop. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll take it to the shop. I'll sit here and wait while they fixed it. Yeah. Said, you can come back in 2 weeks. 2 weeks? We're shut down. We don't. That's all. That's the only printer we have. I'm sorry, sir. We're booked up 2 weeks. So I'm on the way home. Now I'm on the way home. So it's in the morning. I was there when they opened. So I was sometime in the morning, 9 a.m, something like that. I'm on my way home and I'm petitioning. And I said, Father, I never thought about it. We're shut down. We need a spare printer. We need two printers for whenever one's in the shop. I'm petitioning you right now. And I still remember how I said it. Father, could we have a laser one this time? A laser print? I thought that stretched my faith, boy. That was 9 or 10 in the morning. I didn't tell anybody. I mean, my lips, I did not tell a human soul. I may have told Sue. I just don't want to lie. I tell Sue everything, so the odds are good. I probably said something to Sue, but that's it. About 2 or 2:30 in the afternoon, if I remember right, there's a knock on my door. There is a man standing there who didn't know a thing about any of this. And he had holding like this on his right hip some kind of machine. I'm going, hello. I know who it is. I know the guy. I said, what you got there? He says, man, this thing's kind of heavy. Can I come in? I said, yeah. Comes in. He sets that thing on the dining table. He said, God told me to bring you this laser printer. We just had it refurbished. It's just like brand new. I hope I didn't miss God. I'm going, brother, you didn't miss God. Now, I wish all my prayers had a sign that accompanied that quick. You pray in the morning, you have it in the afternoon. That's what I like, see? Now, not all of them have quite been that way. But we had to learn to live that way. And we wound up over the course of years with computers and printers and postage machine thingy for a while and duplicators. We were talking the other day, me and Darren. Those rascals were expensive. I think the master was $2,500. Then you hook up these slaves to it. And those things are like $1,500 to $1,800 apiece, if I remember right. We had a master and two slaves. Isn't that right? I think master and two slaves. Lots and lots of money for people that don't have any money. And we didn't buy any of it on credit. Paid cash for it. You sent out appeal letters. No, we didn't either. I sent out an appeal. Father, I have red letters for this, Father, right here. Exactly how you do it. Exactly how we did it. Jesus said, whatever I'd ask you in his name, he's the one told me to do this, to send these tapes out, Lord. We have need. We need this printer or duplicator or computer or everything we had came that way. Anyway, I'm running way over. What do you believe, though, about that? What do you believe about that? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And here's the last one. Number five, what do you believe about truth? What is truth to you? Are your circumstances true? Father, thy word is truth. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Well, if Jesus is the truth, cancer is a lie. Because he defeated every disease, every kind. I'll see it again and again. All manner of sickness, all manner of diseases, all the time. His word is truth. That's John 17:17. And then the other one, this will be our last verse for tonight, 2 Corinthians 4:18. We have to become a people like this. 2 Corinthians 4:18. If I can ever get there. 5:18 will not work. While we look not at the things which are seen. Then Colossians chapter 3 says, set your affection on things above, not on things that be on the earth. See, we've been talking about things above. What is the decree of the king? What is the truth? We're not to be a people always focusing on what's below, see. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Okay? For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. They are subject to change. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. They don't change. And they are forever. Let us set our affection on things above, not on the things of this world. Did you get anything out of that? You little believers, you. Now, one more time. You have an audience with the king. Now, close your eyes for a minute. And same thing with you that are viewing. At this moment, I want you to picture yourself in front of the king, and I'm not him. You're in front of the king of heaven. And you've come before him with a petition like the centurion did. And the king, he not only answers that petition, he settles it for every petition you'll ever bring. And he quiets heaven down. He says, now, I need you, everyone, to pay attention to this. All you angels, all the resources of heaven, Holy Spirit, listen to this. As you have believed, be it done unto you. What do you believe?